Jesus, table all the time. He who we'll have a little preaching this afternoon as we've had this morning. God's Spirit can be felt among us. I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie Payne, who is a member of this church and speaking for us now at this time. And I ask him to come and open service for us if we make any comments that we would like to make.
Brother Radford patting me on the shoulder and scared me to death. And I said, uh-oh. I was sitting there, I really enjoyed this day, and it's been years, right many years, since I've had a communion weekend anywhere, except for visiting around some, but finally tomorrow I get to have communion with God's people again. It's been a lot of years. And I've been, my toes been stepped on already this morning, my brother. And because I was one of them people that has left the church at one time. And a lot of circumstances that went along with it, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. The Lord straightened everything up. Anyway, I do appreciate this, and I enjoyed that song. It's been 50 years since I've heard somebody lying a song like that. My grandfather was a friend of that stretch, and we was at a house somewhere out in the woods up there at Carroll County, or Whip County one, and Grandpa and him was preaching at some sick person's house, but I remember them singing like that. Because they didn't have the books, and didn't have the music. That broke my heart. That broke my heart. It broke my heart a little bit. I want to try to open the service. I appreciate everybody coming today, and I appreciate this opportunity, and appreciate Brother Rabbit and this church for opening their arms of love to me and giving me a second chance. Y'all just bear with me and pray with me. Gracious and Holy Father, Lord, we do praise and thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful time together, Lord, and we've shared already today. Thank and praise thee, Lord, for thy power and thy spirit. Those that are preaching, Lord, thus far, and Lord, for thy word, dear Lord. We thank thee for the fellowship and the food, Lord. Just pray now, Father, to have continued to bless us and be with us and help us and guide us through the rest of the day. Lord, be with those that are about to speak, Lord, and strengthen them and help them. Set them up on them. Aye, Lord, and take them to them. Lord, I just praise and thank thee for everything you know. Praise and thank thee that I love, Lord, and praise and thank thee, Lord, for this time, Lord, I can come back into fellowship. I just praise and thank thee for everything. Pray in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus.
Elder John Draper can speak to us now. He'll be followed by Elder Bobby Loudermilk, and we'll let Elder Ken Bowles finish it up this afternoon. We count ourselves happy for the opportunity of being born to a church again. We've enjoyed services here in years past and gone, and it's good to be back again. Thoroughly enjoyed the preaching this morning. The scripture says covet the best gifts, and I've certainly coveted those gifts you heard this morning, and wish that I could do as well. We realize that the gift of orator is not what Primitive Baptists are looking for. They want to hear the gospel preached in all of its purity, for the truth sets you free. And I believe that that's really the identity and basis of the Old Baptist Church, is that they have the truth, they preach the truth, and those that love the truth come to the Old Baptist, many times leaving other organizations to do so, which I did myself. And it's a great blessing to feel like that your soul has been enlightened by the truth of God's Word. As I've said so many times, when He gives you the truth, it's all yours. Nobody can take it away from you. They'll not lock you up and put you in prison and burn you at the stake. But if they do, you'll depart from this world with the truth. Because it's something that the Lord gives you. And It's something that feeds your soul. It's something you can live on. And it's something you cherish. And it's one of the identifying marks of the church that our Lord set up, as the brethren so well preached this morning. We have turned to the 8th chapter of Romans, and when we were reading the scriptures here recently, the word adoption kind of jumped out at me. I don't know how it is with you, but sometimes you're reading and something like that just jumps out and sticks with you. So I'd love to speak about adoption a little bit this morning, the Lord being our helper. And I hope you'll continue to pray to that end. And the, we'll start let's start with the 10th verse of the 8th chapter. We would love to say, in context of the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th chapter of Romans, that the Apostle Paul uses this 8th chapter, and mostly the 9th chapter, I'd say, to establish the sovereignty of God. That he is supreme in all of his ways, and he consults no man as to what he wants to do, and that he has the power and the wisdom and the knowledge to do according to his will in the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say unto him, what doeth thou? The brother quoted this morning that he is of one mind to confirm him. Whatsoever his soul desires, even that he doeth. The Lord is good, he's a stronghold, and he knoweth them that trusteth in him. These wonderful truths, when absorbed in the soul, is what makes you free from the doctrines of men, from the teachings of men that will have you dependent upon them for your salvation, or for your entrance into the kingdom of heaven. We are persuaded a long time ago that the Lord is sovereign in his display of his spirit and the regeneration of his dear people from their captivity and sin, to the deliverance and to the kingdom of the children of God, which he has set up here in the world. And the Lord does not leave preachers, nor churches, nor committees of men formed to bring about his desire in these things. He is as the wind, blows where it listeth, and no man knows from whence it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. We do believe that to experience gospel salvation, you must hear the gospel. And that it is very beneficial to the children, God's children, who have been born of the Spirit of God. But to those who have not experienced the new birth, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. I believe the scriptures establish that. And so it takes a new heart, established with the laws of God. He says, I will put my laws into their heart, I'll write them in their minds. They shall be unto me a people, and I shall be unto them a God. And when he does that, I believe that takes place. They are his people. And they know him, and they hear his voice. And they do not follow strangers. Their dependence and trust is in the Lord, their God. And they believe that he is able to accomplish that which he desires to do, and is not dependent upon men in that area. But as for the preaching of the gospel, he uses men to do that. And I might say he doesn't call women. Women are commanded to be silent in the church, not to usurp authority over men. And that doesn't make men any smarter or any wiser than the women. It's just a calling that God has established in the church. And we believe that churches should be established upon that principle. We have been in churches in funerals where women are preachers, and we take part in those funerals, but we have voted at Pine Church that we will not have women in the pulpit at Pine. So when some of our members' children and relatives of the families want to have funerals at Pine, if their preacher was a woman, we said, we're just sorry, we just can't do that. We don't believe in scripture, and we do not think it's correct. So we do believe that it's important that we establish our practices by the scripture, as the brethren preached this morning. Isaiah prophesied of this day that we live in now, when he said that in that day there shall be seven women that shall take hold to one man, and say, let us have thy name to keep the reproach of men from us. But we will eat our own bread, and we will wear our own apparel. And that's what men have done there. They form religious denominations, but they want the name of Christ to take away the reproach of men. But when it comes to their doctrine and practice, they eat their own bread. That is, they preach their own doctrine. And when it comes to their practice, they wear their own apparel. That is, they say, well, we'll have our own custom, and we'll practice things that we see fit. And that is the fulfillment of that scripture, which Isaiah, I believe, lived about maybe 900 years before Christ. So we see the fulfillment of scriptures being fulfilled in the New Testament, which were contained in the Old. So in the eighth chapter, I'm going to start with the eighth verse here. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, that having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the adoption of the redemption of our body. We read all those scriptures to get to the word adoption again. So we read that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then we groan, not only they but ourselves also, which have the fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the adoption of our bodies. So according to those two verses of Scripture, I understand that we have been adopted or received the spirit of adoption in our spirit, in our soul. And I assume that takes place when we are formed again, experimentally to us. But we are waiting now for our bodies to be adopted, that we might be completely the adopted sons of God in the family of Jesus Christ. And this, so we groan waiting for that day of redemption to come, when these bodies also shall be transformed from its state of sin into its glorified body at the resurrection, which we understand will be likened to the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that it will not die anymore. We never will equal to him in his sinlessness and purity, because he never has sinned. He knew no sin, had no sin, and did no sin. But he was willing to be made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What love and compassion, what more can a man do for his friend than to lay down his life for his friend? And beloved, many times my life of sin comes up before me, and I recall how against all warning and faithful loving instructions from my parents that I went into sin anyway, knowing that it was wrong, and yet I did it anyway. I rebelled against all the instructions that I had been brought up under, knowing all along that I was rebelling not only against God, but against my parents and the citizens that I was brought up with. Sin is truly a bondmaster. A sinner is in captivity to sin. That's the reason the Lord said that he led captivity captive. When he came into this world and fulfilled the law in his life by not sinning, by in all, in word, and thought, and in deed, he fulfilled the law in every jot and every tittle. And he did it, beloved, for sinners. He didn't do it for himself. He did it that he might redeem us from under the curse of the law. And when I call to mind the years that I deliberately and willingly sinned, I realize I was crucified. My Lord, he didn't know it and didn't care. But it was for those sins and your sins, beloved, that he was willing to take on himself a body of flesh, tabernacle among men, and fulfill the law which we have fallen under the curse of, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus our Lord. How he must have loved us. When he gave us the communion supper, he said, with desire, but I desire, eat this with you. He left heaven and the world of glory with desire to come into a lowground of sin and sorrow that he might eat that supper with his children, that he might suffer in their instead, and redeem them from the curse of the law, that one day he might adopt them into his family, the family of Jesus Christ. We now are in the family of Adam. And when Adam fell, of course we fell. But it has been the purpose and the will of God from all eternity that we should have a life as children of God in the family of God. The scripture says that which is spiritual is not first, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. So it was according to the will of God that we should bear the image of the earthly first, before we bear the image of the heavenly. But that has been his purpose all along. The end of it all has been that we should be like unto the Son of God and belong to him and to spend eternity with him and enjoy the delights in the presence of God forever and forever. And is not that our blessed hope? Is not that hope what saves us from distress, from anxiety, and from temptations, and the trials of life, regardless of